Here we go again with another edition of the American Cattleman Podcast. My name is Dustin Hector, and I am glad you are joining us today. Just ahead, we have the publisher of the American Cattleman, Gail McKinney, and he sits down with Ruth Coffey, the president, and Ashley Hughes, the executive director of the National Cattle Women's Association. You will hear a little bit about these lovely ladies' backgrounds. They will also share a little bit of the history for the association and discuss the importance of membership recruitment and much more. But first, a word from our sponsor, the official hat company of the American Cattleman Podcast, Shorty's Cowboy Hattery.
It's way more than just a hat. It's a piece of American tradition. We're talking about Shorty's Cowboy Hattery, the finest handmade hats in the country. Founded by National Cowgirl Museum and Hall of Fame, Lavona Shorty Coger. For over 30 years, Shorty's Cowboy Hattery has covered the heads of rodeo stars, music stars, working ranch cowboys, and folks that just want to look like one. Shorty's hats remain world famous and are sought after for their attention to detail, intricate sewing process, and signature beaver fur and beaver fur blends. You gotta get you one. Or two. Visit shortieshattery.com because you deserve the best.
Before we kick it over to Gail, I want to share a quick tidbit of industry news. The U.S. cattle herd is at its lowest point since 1961, making this the worst possible time to take any risks with FMD. A single outbreak would devastate the cattle herd, put ranchers out of business, and drive the price of beef up for consumers. USDA's decision to allow Paraguay beef imports into the U.S. creates an unnecessary risk to the health and safety of the U.S. cattle herd. U.S. cattle producers are held to the highest food and animal health standards in the world, and any trade partner must be able to demonstrate they can meet those same standards, said Kent Backus, Executive Director of Government Affairs for the NCBA. Given Paraguay's long history of foot and mouth disease outbreaks, it is simply too risky to allow their imports without recent site visits to confirm Paraguay's safety claims. U.S. cattle producers are thankful for the leadership of Senators John Tester and Mike Rounds for applying the Congressional Review Act to hold USDA accountable and protect our nation's cattle herd. Justin Tupper, president of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, said, further, in its regulatory impact analysis, USDA fully admits that there is a real possibility we could import beef from an animal infected by foot and mouth disease. An outbreak of FMD in the United States would be devastating for both producers and consumers, causing lasting financial losses between $33 and $93 billion. We thank Senators Tester and Rounds. There's a little bit of industry news. Before we kick it over to Gail, I want to give you a quick read from Rawhide Portable Corrals, one of our other sponsors.
We understand cattle. That's why the world's first hydraulic corral just keeps getting better. Our system is simple, flexible, and durable, built to keep your cattle operations easy and trouble-free. All the best features of a portable system with unmatched customer service is why Rawhide is often imitated, never duplicated. The Rawhide Portable Corral.
Now here is Gail McKinney.
Thank you, Dustin. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the American Cattleman Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Gail McKinney. I'm the publisher of American Cattleman. I'm pleased to have you join me on this episode. Today, two professionals representing the American National Cattle Women's Association, Ruth Coffey, the president, and Ashley Hughes, the executive director, are here with us today. Ashley and Ruth, welcome to the American Cattleman Podcast.
Thank you
for having us.
Yes.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here today. And I kind of want to start out a little bit and maybe have each of you just give a little background on who you are and where you've been and you know how you got to the ANCW and talk about that a little bit.
Well, for me, this is Ruth. I started out like probably around the mid 2000s, and I really didn't know exactly which direction I wanted to pursue in American National Cattlewomen. So I just started attending committees and trying to find out what ANCW was all about. And so before I ever became an officer, I just was a volunteer committee member. And that helped me to learn what ANCW was all about and what avenues in ANCW that I chose to follow later on.
And then, Ruth, you actually were a teacher, weren't you, in middle school for a while?
Yes, sir. I taught middle school at two different places. Middle school art is what I taught, and I enjoyed it immensely. And if I weren't the age I am now, I probably would try to go back and do it. But I'm ready to go different directions now.
Sure, that's kind of a unique story. And then you guys actually have the Double C Cattle Company there in Oklahoma too. So busy lady.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we have a family operation, and I have two sons actually work on the place, and my kids range in age from 29 to 34, and three total. Got three grandchildren and one on the way, which will be next week, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Ashley, how about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I grew up on a ranch in Okeechobee, Florida, Central Florida, and after I got my degrees at the University of Florida, I ended up working for the Georgia Beef Board and eventually the Florida Beef Council. And between the two organizations, I had a lot of interaction with the state cattlewomen's associations. And through them was introduced to American National Cattlewomen and actually have been involved with ANCW for a long time now in different roles. I've served on committees. I was vice chair of the board of directors, served on the foundation for a little while. And so, funny enough, through all of my career, I've been associated with the incredible women of ANCW and got the opportunity to start working with them last year and have had quite the wonderful time learning from all these amazing women and seeing what they do on behalf of ANCW. And so I'm proud to be able to represent them on the national stage now.
No, that's great. Folks, we have Ruth Coffey, the president, and Ashley Hughes, the executive director with the American National Cattlewomen's Association, with us today. And we're going to be talking about their association and the great programs that they do. Ladies, let's explore the organization's history a bit, and whoever wants to jump in here first and talk about this. But how did ANCW begin, and just how did it grow over the years?
Well, the organization started in 1939 on the Four Bar Ranch near Douglas, Arizona. At that particular meeting, there were 16 ladies present at Mrs. Ralph Cohen's ranch, and they named the organization the Cowbells, and they held that name all the way up until 1985, and they had at one point, they had 16,000 members, and they had 42 state affiliates. They really, really a growing organization. I read in an old manuscript that they had a brigade of ladies who, I guess it was their legislative committee, that did nothing but write letters to Washington. Mm. And in the part that I was reading, it said that the legislators hated to see the cattlewomen letters because they knew there would be a lot when they came.
That's great. So with that growth early on, then,
for a long time.
Yeah, with that growth early on, then, and you said 39, right? So
39. That's, affiliates. There were 42.
Okay, so this organization had to grow through, you know, a World War period and Korean War period, and stay in business. It must have been an outstanding group of leadership along the way.
Right. There really were. And back in those earlier days too, they asked the state affiliates if they would not only be state members, but in ANCW members. So the states were given awards for the states that had the most ANCW members, you know, along with state members.
Interesting. So how many members are there today?
Currently, there's actually, I believe there's like around 1,200. Is that not right, Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Yep. And we have currently 26 state affiliates.
That's great. And so Ashley and I were talking a little bit before the programming started that the ANCW is an affiliate of the NCBA. And I'm really curious because we talked about this, and so ANCW has its own legislative agenda. Is that correct?
Yes, we do try to follow at some, you know, we work with the NCBA with a lot of their legislative actions. That's kind of what we really try to focus on, is trying to keep up with their legislative actions. And if we need to contact the legislators ourselves, we do whatever they, if they contact us about an issue, we try to follow up with it.
Sure. And so let's talk here a little bit. I was online and doing a little research. I don't want to go into these podcasts and come off like I don't know what I'm talking about. So I've researched your mission statement a little bit, and I think it's really kind of telling. A beef community dedicated to growing beef demand through education and development. Tell me about how your programming fulfills that mission statement. How does the ANCW, dedicate itself to growing beef demand through education and development?
Well, we have one of our committees is K-12 beef education, and that committee not only researches books that we would promote in the classroom for students, but they also are constantly looking for educational ways to go in and teach the classes also about beef and how we grow our beef and things that, sometimes are worrisome for the cattle industry. They'll touch on that. And that is the one committee that we use to kind of, reach out to the schools and educational consumer events to try to, try to get the word out. I've forgotten what the second part of your question was.
Well, I think that pretty well answers it. I mean, it's through the demand and education and development, and that's got to be kind of near and dear to your heart, being an educator.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I have a friend that she's always asking me to come to her classroom and teach them about, how we raise the beef and all. So, anyway, it's still a part of me.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. And that's why it probably makes you an invaluable asset for the organization. Ruth, you're a working rancher, and you work with your family at the Double C Cattle Company there, fifth generation cow-calf operation. And you're also the president of ANCW, so I'm sure your life is busy. I'm sure Ashley's pulling at you all the time for events and things to do. And can you share some of your wisdom, and why should other women, why should they become involved in this organization?
Well, the first and foremost is, if you don't tell the how you raise your beef and how you came about being part of the beef industry, someone else will, and they'll create their own version of it. So I feel like that's first and foremost the main reason. One part I didn't tell you about back there when we were talking about our histories is one reason why I didn't teach very long was because part of the time I broke away and went down to Texas A&M and got a ranch management degree.
There you go.
And so that's actually where I met my husband, Chuck, and we both were in the range management department. So, and he's an agristologist, so he knows all about the grasses and the forbs and the trees. So it was a great great combination when we came together, because I wasn't that familiar with the, I knew it was grass out there, just not how many were out there that were different species.
Yep. So you guys have won some awards. Speaking of that, I mean, you've gotten several awards for conservation and stewardship.
Yes. So this area where we live is just the best place to grow eastern red cedar. And that is our worst encroachment species that we have. And so my husband vowed before he died that he was going to try to get it back to what it once was back in the 20s and the 30s. And we have a pretty extensive prescribed fire that, plans that we use every year to try to control the cedars. And one of my sons actually got a range ecology degree from OSU, and so he's the one that kind of makes all the main burn plans for us. And then my other son, he helps us with the burning and taking care of the ranch as well, and he also is our accountant and helps us with the ranch and the bookkeeping part of our ranch.
Sure.
So it's kind of we all work together.
Yep, that's the way a good operation is. Ashley, mm-hmm. I'm sure membership recruitment is essential. And so what's your role in that, and how do you recruit folks? What are you doing to get people involved?
So we have an incredibly active membership committee, which is headed up by our vice president, Casey Matsky, out of Texas. And they really focus on not just gaining new members, but also retaining members. One of the really big focuses that we have, especially in the world of membership, is making sure people understand what we're doing here at ANCW, whether it's on the promotional side, education, legislation. We want to be an organization for women involved in the cattle industry across the country to be involved with us. We have something for everybody, regardless of what your interests are. And so when we're trying to work with membership and trying to especially recruit new members, we want everyone to understand what their valuable input could be into the association and how we can give back to others. And so we really do try to be that voice for women in the cattle industry and all of these people who share the same passion for the beef community, regardless of what their special interest might be. But we want to make sure that we are accommodating and we are welcoming, and that we're able to find a place for every woman who's involved in the beef cattle industry.
Well, that's great. And I think, Ashley, I think this is probably a good spot. I've got a couple more things I want to go over with you folks, but could you give some contact information so people could reach out to you if they're interested in membership?
Absolutely. So our primary website is www.ancw.org. You can find all of the membership information on the website, or you can contact me directly. I am happy to work with anybody. My contact information is executivedirector@ancw.org.
Great. Ruth, Ashley, I've got one final question here. And I asked this of everyone in the industry in the past year, and I think it's so important. The industry itself has recognized how important it is to educate the consumer. And I'm not sure we did that as an industry as well as we should have in the past. It's likely that there are that those people who are living in a urban setting are 3 to 4 generations away from understanding agriculture. In other words, you know, they used to know somebody who farmed, or they used to actually get their milk, you know, at the outside of the house, or they maybe even worked part time as a farmhand or something like that. Now they don't understand agriculture, so I would assume that's a big task, and I think from listening to you ladies, it is with ANCW and an important role. How are you approaching teaching the consumer about our industry?
Ruth, I'll let you go first.
Well, we have a beef promotion committee that's working quite often on trying to find different types of promotional things where we would involve people in possibly, you know, preparing beef for their family or for themselves. And the best cooking tip to use for that particular cut of beef, and I can't tell you all the different things that they're doing currently, but they are working on kind of building a treasure trove of ideas for us to use as an organization to try to promote out in our different states and regions. Ashley, what about for you?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple different opportunities for us as ANCW of how we're reaching people. One of our big programs is the Collegiate Beef Advocacy Program, where we have a couple of students who go out to different events, everything from the National Western Stock Show out in Denver to different cattlemen's associations, different colleges, and they're really trying to get out there and actually talk to people about the beef industry, issues that they may have about health and nutrition, environmental sustainability, anything and everything related to the cattle industry. And we also have our WIRED program, which is Women in Ranching Education and Development. And we actually have an event happening in Ohio this coming weekend. And this is about educating people who are in the cattle industry and helping them learn even more. Because I think as important as it is to share our story with consumers and people who aren't associated with the industry, we also need to focus on continuing education for the people that are currently involved or wanting to get involved in the cattle industry. And these WIRED events are really about the hands-on learning from anything and everything relating to cattle production and a cattle operation, from how to give vaccines to proper nutrition. Temple Grandin is actually a speaker at this weekend's event. And so it's exposing some of these people to a greater world of the cattle industry. And so we're trying to make sure that that's where we want to have this comprehensive education and comprehensive communication with people, whether they're in the cattle industry or whether they're outside of the cattle industry. We want to talk about what's going on and really foster some incredible conversations with people who, again, are wanting to be involved and wanting to learn more. And I think that is some of those are some of the really crucial components to making sure that we have a viable and sustainable cattle industry for generations to come.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head, both of you. And you know, it truly is. It comes down to that word communication. And the better we do it, and with the more folks we do it, and the more honesty we do it, that's just a great thing. Ruth, Ashley, thank you. I've just thoroughly enjoyed this, and you guys do such great work. We're happy at American Cattlemen to partner with you folks on these kind of things, and we most certainly will continue to do so.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gail. Yeah, thank you for having patience with me with my technical difficulties.
You did great. You are a star. So, everyone, that was Ruth Coffey, the president, and Ashley Hughes, the executive director of the American National Cattlewomen's Association. We really enjoyed having them, and check them out. And if you want to get involved, they will welcome you to the fold. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the American Cattlemen Podcast. Tell your neighbors and friends about us. Take care.
A special thanks to Ruth Coffey and Ashley Hughes from the National Cattle Women's Association for taking time to chat today. Also, a special thank you to our sponsors, Shorty's Cowboy Hattery and Rawhide Portable Corrals. We hope you enjoyed your time with us. For more information or to listen to previous episodes, visit our website, www.americancattleman.com, or check us out on social media simply by searching American Cattlemen. American Cattlemen Podcast is produced by the American Cattlemen Magazine. Until next time, make sure the gate is always closed.